Hi, this is Michael Felgate. If you missed Racing Pulse, stay tuned now because here are some of the highlights.
Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate.
This is the training tower where all the big guns are this morning. If we walk over, the first one we bump into is Mick Price, who is busy doing his morning worksheets. Mick, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Very well indeed. This Saturday, the 50th running of the Blue Diamond. You know what it takes to win one. Have you got a favourite outside of your own Blue Diamond winner over the years?
Outside of my own over the years? That's a question without notice. You mean who's going to win this year's Blue Diamond? How about that one?
Yeah, okay, that's easier for
okay,
you.
Okay, we'll go with that. Look, I've always thought Hanseatic's a Group 1 horse. I think he's just got to get out of jail on traffic tomorrow. Or Saturday, I mean.
What about the Blue Diamond? You lost when you were trying to cheat. What about that one? You want to bring that one up?
I can't wait to get to Cranbourne.
John Sadler, your good mate?
John Sadler, we'll leave it there. The question was?
I've forgotten, but you were. I think you were about to pot Hanseatic, the favourite, were you?
No. I'm just saying if it gets a break in traffic, I think it's the best horse in the race. So those horses that can sustain a run from the 600, the 400, and then make their last furlong the best, I think they've just got Group 1 written all over them. I think he's been the most impressive horse that we've seen in Victoria.
We're going to spend some time at your mate Kieran Maher's stable. To get six runners in a Blue Diamond's a huge effort. You don't think he can win it? Who's his best hope?
Oh, look, I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I suppose it's a matter of timing. You know, what horse peaks on the day, especially with two-year-olds, you know, you've got a peak time for them. They can't be up and running everything. I mean, he's done a great job with all his two-year-olds this year, but it's a matter of which one's got the most energy on the day, I guess.
In this box, there's a lot of IP, a lot of smart trainers. Who do you think is the smartest?
The smartest trainer? You mean the best trainer? Apart from myself?
Naturally.
Actually, I think Sads is a good trainer. For a small team, I think he's had a sensational year. His horses always look, you know, beautiful. I don't know if there's a... Well, look, we're all good trainers here. You know, it's a fantastic training centre. And, you know, they just have to look at the results that come out of here. There's not a heap of horses get trained here, but over the years, since they shut Epsom and they redid the barns and redid the stables, Caulfield's become, you know, a fantastic training centre. Anyway, that's got the chop. So we move on and, Cranbourne will be the next one.
Yeah, won't be long until you're Cranbourne. Can you get a winner on Saturday? You got...
I've only got one here, He'll Haunt Us, but he works super on the course proper. And the Zetative this year may not be the good race that it has been in other years. So I think he's a ripper little chance. He might want a little bit further than 1,200, but I think he's a great each-way chance.
And back to your diamond win. What a year that was for you, flying out of Extreme
one,
Choice.
Which one, mate? Sort it out, will you?
The one that you still got.
There's two there. Come on.
Well, I want the Quinella, the one that we're talking about.
Well, Sam Reddy was good in her year. We were really confident. That was the days of C. Newitt. She was a natural two-year-old, and like I said, we had the timing right on her. I thought we had the timing right on those two colts. Flying Artie got speared right off the track that day and did a fantastic job to run second. And subsequent to that, they proved what good horses they are by winning Group 1s as three-year-olds, you know. But
who was the best two-year-old of your diamond winners? And we'll throw
you
in...
You know what, to be fair, Extreme Choice was unbeatable on the day. Mm. Had Flying Artie drawn a gate, I'm not sure, but I think Extreme Choice still won with something up his sleeve. And he was just a brilliant sprinting colt.
It was an unbelievable year for you. Good luck on Saturday, He'll Haunt Us. You got the cash up at the Magic Millions. Hopefully you can do the same on Saturday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, we're going to have a chat to your mate Sads over here, and there's Manny Galagotis, there's Graham Begg as well. Sads, how are you, mate?
Good, Michael.
Stable's going well at the moment.
You're going okay. It was lovely to get a rap there from Mick Price.
How much mateship is in this box here at Caulfield?
Yeah, well, I don't want to go on and on about it, but there is the camaraderie here is unbelievable, and it's just because we're all in the one box, and there's no holds barred, as you well know. So we just get on, you know, tremendously well, and it's probably one of the sad or disappointing things about the place closing up, you know, because we all enjoy getting here each morning, and it is a great place to train. It really is.
I've noticed this man next to you, Manny Gallagher, seems to be the butt of many jokes. Is that right?
He is, yes. He's a great fella, Emmanuel, and we enjoy his company very much. Since he's come to Caulfield, he's been sometimes a little bit quiet. He doesn't have much to say, but overall, he's a beauty.
Do you get free chicken and chips?
Well, they haven't taken up the invite, Sads has been there. Individually, they've been there, but we're actually planning a bus tour down there. But it's a bit of a customary thing now. Even when Moods, back in the day, the shop's a point of call, and they get a group one feed and don't pay. Sorry, there is a rule. If you're liked, you don't pay, and if you're not liked, you pay. So it's great. No, it's awesome.
And since you've been in here, have you learnt a lot of these trainers as well?
Yeah, look, I must say that I didn't know everyone extremely well. And the thing I'll miss extremely the most is when this place closed down is the fellowship. And from where I sit anyway, representing Peter, working, learning, coming to a new training centre and getting to know people a lot better has been a massive thing for me. I love it. It's reinvigorated, similar to my sporting career when you're in change rooms, and this is a change room which I've really enjoyed to be in.
Who wins the Diamond Saturday?
Favourite is a worthy, deserved winner in my mind. It's his race to lose, I think. Timing, form looks pretty good, and I think the barrier's a good draw. Outside that, I think it's very open.
Who would you put your money on, Sats?
I reckon it's one of those races, Michael, where you really need, before you make a call on it, see the horses in the mounting yard, see the ones that may be over the top and the ones that are just going to be right at the top of their game on the day. Very hard to go past the Freedman horse, but it's going to be tricky from barrier one. I think he would have been better off out a little bit, but I think the biggest thing about the race is the Mar Eustace factor of them being able to get six horses into the race. Like, that's a really good feat, and I'm sure they'll be figuring in the finish as well.
Can you have a winner on Diamond Day? You got scoring Angus Samanasco?
Well, she's the only one I've got in. I thought her run was terrific the other day, and she'll appreciate the step up to 1,400 metres, and she'll also appreciate the better gate where she'll be able to be ridden, hopefully a little bit handier. I think she's going to be very hard to beat.
Good luck on Saturday, Sads. Manny, good to see you. Graham Beck's just over here. Graham, all you need to do is take a horse to town and it wins these days. You're flying.
Yeah, no, things have been pretty good this month, and you've got to save at the moment, but the horses have been racing really well and consistent, and it's been pretty exciting.
Gee, Miss Siska's come back well, hasn't she?
Yeah, no, she's in great order, and she's trained on really well for Saturday's race. We don't probably want too much more rain for her. I'd prefer her up on top of the ground, even though she's handled a soft track, but when they start getting into it, it's a bit of a worry for her because she's such a big girl and a big striding horse. But look, I'm sure she'll run very well come Saturday.
Has she taken more improvement?
Yeah, no, certainly gone ahead. We don't train over hard, but work's been nice and sharp, a bit of work that we've done, and I think the gait's really good for her because she can just come out and have a bit of a look how it sort of sorts itself out in the first 400 metres and then just roll forward.
And Nonconformist is a horse that's just come from nowhere and absolutely flying.
Yeah, no, we think he's a horse that's pretty untapped. We haven't got to the bottom of him yet. It's only his first preparation, so we're very mindful of that. But he certainly hasn't gone backwards and he's going into the race as well as what he did last up before he won. And it's probably up another notch, but he's ready for the occasion.
Diamond Day must hold a pretty special uh, spot in your heart, because it was probably where you really launched yourself here in Victoria.
Yeah, that's correct, and yeah, very exciting. So I'll be looking forward to seeing our Score run very well, because we've got a close relation to Score, and it's, she's in fold written by, so it'll be close relation. So hopefully Johnny can get one over the line in a stakes race.
Gee, that'll be worth a bit.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, it's in a stakes race, so any black type will help.
If you could throw the saddle on any on Saturday in the Diamond, who would it be?
Oh, look, I think Hanseatic's can't do any more than he's done, but he's obviously going to need a lot of luck. Big field, you know, but he's got a great jockey on him, and you know, good horses always overcome difficulties, and they find the right path and they just get the job done.
Good luck on Saturday, Graeme.
Thanks.
Graeme Begg, Colin Little's over here. Now, this is the 50th running of the Blue Diamond. I wonder if Colin can remember the very first running. How are you, Cole?
Good, Michael. Yes, I can. It's a horse that was trained here at Caulfield called Tolerance, I believe. I remember him as a yearling, which is unusual, a long time ago, but he was an outstanding yearling.
Did you try to buy him?
Oh, look, probably in my dreams, really, but I remember him going through the ring, and Angus Armanasco bought him for a bit of money in those days, and we knew him from day one, and it, you know, sticks in my memory for some reason, a long time ago, but I remember him like it was yesterday.
Would you have a thought on who you think has been the biggest or best Diamond winner that you can recall in your time?
Oh.
From Rancher to Zetative, another one of Angus's, to the modern day?
Yeah, Zetative, I'd say. He's a very good horse. I had a horse here a long time ago called Testimony, and he won 13 in town. He was a pretty good horse. And Angus rang me one day and said, have you got a mate tomorrow? And I said, yeah, have I got a mate? He's a pretty good horse, this horse. Almost a Group 1 horse. And they went out and worked 5 furlongs, and Zetative just tailed him up. I couldn't believe it. He just tailed him up, beat him by 4 or 5 lengths, and he was nearly a Group 1 horse. So Zetative was a very, very good horse.
Have you had any Diamond runners over your career?
I can't remember one. No, certainly no memorable ones. I'm not really sure, but I don't remember it.
If you could train one on Saturday in the Diamond, who would you be on?
Well, I'm in Graeme Begg's corner. That horse is terribly impressive. And, yeah, I know it might need a little bit of luck, but they tend to spread all over the place, and, you know, they're all under pressure on the turn, and, you know, historically there's a bit of room there, so, you know, he was outstanding the other day.
You've got a Group 1 runner on Saturday. You're throwing Casio in the deep end in the Futurity?
Well, he bruised his tendon last week and he had to be scratched. We couldn't take the risk. Luckily, his tendon is okay, and I was going to trial him here on Tuesday because he's missed a run. And then I looked at that race and see they paid 10 grand down to eights. So he's going to earn 10 grand no matter what he does.
Smart from you. What about no commitment?
Yeah, going all right. Recovering from 18 months off with a tendon injury. He's going well. He's quite sound. Thought his run the other day was okay, because he's not, he can't quicken, and back on the fence there, held up for a while, it doesn't suit him. He's a horse that needs to get out wide and toughen up. So, yeah, he's in the mix.
And if Kieran wins the Diamond, does he shout everyone here? Is it a Group One big feat?
Yeah, when you win a Group One, you know, you're supposed to shout everyone, get champagne, prawns, lunch, but he owes us a few, actually.
He's just standing here. We're going to spend some time over in his stables after 9 o'clock. Is that true? You haven't shouted the boys yet with all your Group 1 wins?
Yes.
Well, sounds like I'm... hopefully I can get one on Saturday and have to take him out.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Looking forward to catching up with you after 9 o'clock. We'll walk through the stables and talk about all your big chances. This is Racing Pulse live from Caulfield in the Trainers' Hut. We'll have more after this.
The heart and soul of racing. RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse on the Road. We are live from Kira Mara and Dave Eustace Stables here in Caulfield. The old Peter Moody bun. And Kieran, great to see you here, mate. How are you?
Great. Great to be on and great to have you here.
Gee whiz, it's a hive of activity. I want to know how yourself and David, it almost looks like organised chaos. How do you keep across everything?
That's pretty much similar to most stables. They look like organised chaos. But, yeah, we've got a great team. We've got a great lot of staff. They're really passionate. Most of them pretty youthful. And we've got a good management team sitting above that. We've got a board now and COOs you know, good managers right the way through. So, you know, David's obviously very good, but generally we used to spend a lot of time together, and now with a number of locations we spend most of the time apart, sort of spreading ourselves over all the horses and getting to different locations. I was in Sydney yesterday and back here this morning, and so it's great. You know, the team's going really well, and it's a really I suppose we've got a few nice runners on the weekend, and it's a good time of year.
It's interesting you mention that structure. It's almost like a corporate governance these days, which I suppose most people out there wouldn't really relate to a racing stable.
No, that's right. But, you know, when you have a number of horses that we do and a number of locations, it's very imperative that you have that structure. And when I had some time off, it allowed us to really restructure that and bolster up, I suppose, that system. And it held us in really good stead for when the opportunity came to, you know, one, for us to expand into Sydney, now at Warwick Farm. But then also when the opportunity came up to purchase Forest Lodge at Ballarat, we sort of knew... we'd taken over Peter Moody's before, we doubled then, we took over Rick O'Lacey's before that, and sort of, so we knew where the pressures would come and where the stretching marks would be. So that held us in pretty good stead, and that structure certainly put us in good stead for when an opportunity like that come up.
So when you've got a board of directors, do you have people who are from outside the hardcore racing industry but are experts in their designated fields?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want everybody thinking the way we think. So you're right. We've got, there's an accountant, a marketing guy, a lawyer and another guy as well. So, it's a really exciting time for the stable. Mm. You know, we've got a good strike rate and we knew it was going to be sort of, we were going to be a little bit stretched when we did expand quite a bit, but I couldn't be happier with the way things have gone.
You mentioned you were in Sydney yesterday. What's your weekly schedule like? Because you would be bouncing around everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. This, depending on what's galloping where, like Monday I was at Moonee Valley, Tuesday I was here in Caulfield, and yesterday up to Sydney. I just had a look at the... had a look at all the runners there, and last night out to Sandown, and this morning here. I'll be probably tomorrow down to our Balnarring facility, down to have a look at the horses at the beach, and probably a nice lunch somewhere tomorrow afternoon, I'd say, maybe Ribeiras.
How does a boy from the Bull handle this constant 24/7 jet set lifestyle? Because throw in the yearling sales, where they're interstate overseas, and there might even be a trip over to the UK to see Big Blue as well. How do you handle it all?
I love it. You know, I don't particularly like being in the same spot day in, day out. I'm probably the opposite of a 9-to-5 person in an office job. So I like the variety. I really thrive on that. I'm probably better when I'm kept busy. It is busy, but it's something that I've spent my whole life working towards. To take advantage of some of these opportunities and to get some of these opportunities to train some of these really well-bred colts and fillies, it's a dream come true. To have, you know, the amount of runners we've got on Saturday in such a prestigious 2-year-old race, it's I'm very proud of the team and of the stable, and all the smarties would say we probably haven't got the best horses in the race, but 2-year-olds, if you can bounce on the bunny and make your own luck, it certainly counts for a lot. So I couldn't be happier leading into the weekend.
What about the hands-on touch? Because you're a horseman first and foremost. We've seen what you've been able to do down at the Bull and the Grand Annuals and so forth. The bigger you get, do you get less hands-on? Because I'd imagine that's your first love.
It is. I'm still quite hands-on, but I suppose I set this business up a bit different, you know, as we've expanded to other. I see I've worked for a lot of different trainers growing up and when I was an apprentice, and so I've seen a lot of different setups and the way trainers do it. But I tend to like to promote sort of initiative into the staff or the assistants or the foreman, whoever that may be, to allow them, like say the work list for example, you know, I'll get the assistant to do that and then I'll check it off. So they really think about what they're doing and, you know, and then if I change it, you know, they want to know why, you know, why you change it, why you're doing this. So in effect, you basically build a team of people that think the way you think when different situations or scenarios arise. So that's the way we do it, and that's the way I sort of, you know, I still like to get around and look at each horse individually. You know, there's little things you might see that someone else might, but you have your team with you, and you try and teach them everything that you're seeing or not seeing.
It's hard to fathom how you can keep across all your individual horses like you do. How big are you now? How big is Mar Eustace Racing? How many different training properties have you got in horses?
Well, we've got we've got three. We've got our Pakenham facility where we do our pre-training and spelling. We've got Caulfield here, which is not forever. And we've got Ballarat, which is the reason we sort of expanded there, because Caulfield's not forever. And then we have a few with David Noonan and Jackie down at Balnarring, just for those horses that need that beach environment. And then up in Sydney, we've just got the one, we've just got Warwick Farm. Mm. So, yeah, they're all gelling very well and seem to be working in unison very well together. So,
How many would you have on the books?
Well, we wouldn't have as many as just going by a number of runners as Hazy or Waller, so still got a little bit of room to move. I'd say, yeah, you know, there's probably about, I think we've got about 230 in work.
Yep.
You know, there's a few spelling and a few young ones coming into the barn now. I see this horse walking past us here. A schnitzel out of Fontyton, its mother was trained here and was one of the early favourites, or might have been the favourite
for
the Blue Diamond. So, you know, they're the next wave coming in. The yearlings have just rolled in here, so the first lot of 10. So.
And you give them their first stable experience and a preparation in the stables?
That's right, yeah. They're just doing their first sort of initiation, I suppose it would be, just into the system, you know. They only spend a short time here, a week or 10 days, and they'll head out to our spelling farm at Pakenham.
Can you tell what horse is what by just looking at their heads?
Yeah, well, that one I was pretty sure.
Yeah, you were. For a yearling.
Yeah, well, he was 500 and I was bidding away like I had eight arms when trying to buy him, so I remember him pretty well. Yeah, you know, like, it's a bit like, I suppose when I was growing up on the farm, the old man had us out every morning milking the cows, and we, you know, these have head collars and they lead them to you, whereas the cows just walk past you, and we knew most of them. So I suppose it's, yeah, you get to know them pretty well.
Can you believe where you are, looking back on those days on the dairy farm in Warrnambool, where you stand right now?
No, I don't tend to look back. I try to always just... But I suppose when you stop and think about it, it's been a really good rise, and the stable has expanded quite a bit since coming to Melbourne. You know, it was sort of a fair jump training out of Warrnambool off the old man's farm to come to Melbourne. But my parents have been, you know, they were great supporters, and there was a lot of good owners like Colin McKenna and a few others that really supported the move to Melbourne, and thankfully it's gone the right way.
Well, you are only still a young man, and you plan for the future.
Yeah.
How big are you going to get?
Well, you know, probably, you know, I don't want to get any bigger here in Victoria. I think we've got a really good system, and I think it's working really well. We can always tweak that, as you would in any business. You can always do things better and as you go along. But probably in Sydney, probably have a similar similar type setup, but you know, there's a lot of Victorian people, I suppose, trainers that have gone there and probably haven't quite hit the mark, but and probably with satellite stables, but we're going to set it up, or we are setting it up now as its own stable. So it's one umbrella, but two separate stables, not a satellite stable. So, you know, they have their horses, they're broken in. If they're from Sydney, they're broken in there, they're trained there, they spell there, which is the same here. And then it allows you to place your horses, as we've done this year. You know, if there's a right race in Sydney or Queensland or wherever it might be for the particular type of horse and its rating, you know you can place it there with relatively a lot of ease.
I'm going to talk about all your stable stars. Let's go for a wander and have a look at some of the horses in this area. And the first one we come across is one of your diamond runners, and this is Ideas Man. Where does he sit in your pecking order?
Well, he's a bit of the forgotten horse, actually, because he was very good on debut at Moonee Valley in the English Banner. It was another one we had to stump up a little bit for. We paid $500 for him, but thankfully he recouped quite a big deal of that on debut. But then we ran him 2 weeks ago, and it was on a wet track, and he didn't handle it at all. Finished down the track, probably midfield. So he's quite big odds, but you know, he's out of a really sharp mare. I trained his sister Chloe in Paris, and I know the family really well. Innovation Girl was, I
think, they were fast fillies,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, and yeah, I think, you know, if it doesn't rain too much more, he could really bounce back at big odds.
Barry, 16 doesn't make life easy. Are you concerned about that?
Well, there's no good being concerned about it. We'll just make a plan to get around it.
Forward, back.
He naturally is not the quickest to begin, so I'd say that usually in this size field and this type of race, there's plenty of speed, so I'd say he'll just blend in. He's probably wide cover.
We'll wander around and come across the diamond runners when we do. One of the horses I want to have a chat to you about is one of the boom horses from your stable. He's a beautiful animal. We haven't got to see him yet so far, and that is Heart of Poissons. What's going on? He was entered to run this Saturday. We still don't get to see him.
No, we might see him. We might see him next Wednesday. Or
an easy kill.
I heard him. Yeah. I'm a bit of a big believer in that. You know, he's not the fully rounded, I suppose, product yet. You can see in his last start, you know, he still does a little bit wrong, but he's got that raw ability, and he's got that engine room there.
How good is he?
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. But I would just like to kick him off soft. Hopefully, you know, I know that will bring him on in every way, but also he probably needs a little confidence booster as well. And then hopefully he can line up in the All-Star here at Caulfield.
Well, today we get the announcement. He was well and truly in the top 10 with the voting. So is it second up into the All-Star, is it? Is that the plan?
That's the plan. Yeah, like he never really lost a lot of fitness. He only had a short break, and he obviously went very deep into the spring. So, yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem. And if we can, as I said, we can just kick him off, that'll bring him on, and then hopefully a bit of confidence up to the big assignment.
Gee, you must have a good rap on him. Second up, taking on Alligator Blood, Catalyst, Melody Bell, the like.
Yeah, I do. Like, obviously, those horses are pretty daunting. Alligator Blood, I suppose he's been up a while. I'll be banking on him sort of going over the top, but David Van Dyke's a pretty good trainer. He'll probably have him pretty right. But we just train what we got in front of us here, and I'm pretty happy with what we got.
Is he a horse that in the spring he could be a Cox Plate contender or one of the majors?
Yeah, I think whatever he does, he's still got to furnish. You know, he's still got to fill into himself. Like, he's a tall horse, and Colt, he's still going to fill out. He's not the finished product yet.
Let's wander over here, because this is one of the most intriguing horses, and it was a headline act in the controversial runner in the Derby. But this is a horse, Thought of That, who has the most magnificent head. He looks brilliant. I'm going to take a photo and we'll put it out on social media. But this is a horse that we nearly lost during his spell. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it probably wasn't that dramatic, but he ended up, it did look that way. He got a bit of a, I suppose he got It was a bit staggery from some feed he was eating in the paddock. And
he couldn't stand up, did he? Is that right?
Yeah,
he got dizzy.
His balance wasn't good. And they did a few tests, and there was quite a bit of concern for a little while. But it sort of, as quick as it came on, it went. And it did put him back a little bit. You can see here, he looks magnificent. He's got his vice, so you think.
And he looks like his dad here,
he's got
with a big white blaze, though.
He's got that same forelock, doesn't he?
The fringe, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He's got hair like you. What's his plan?
Hopefully he can run a bit quicker.
When do we get to see him?
Well, we might see him Sunday, actually.
Oh.
He might kick off at Ballarat. His rating's not over high, so he might kick off at Ballarat. Again, similar program to Heart of Prescience, just kick him off soft, let him use that race to bring him on, and then maybe a guineas either here or up in Sydney.
Did you learn that he's not a stayer, or the wet track in the Derby that brought him undone?
Well, it's still a little bit inconclusive. Because of the wet track, I don't think he handled that. But he's very good at the 10 furlongs. Like, he's got that tactical speed, and he can make his own luck. So you wouldn't say he wouldn't go beyond it, but you'd be sort of, it'd be a last resort.
Mm. All right.
This horse here.
Tell me about Grand Slam.
Grand Slam, that's a bit of a sable favourite, actually. He's
really?
Only two. He's unraced, but he's a full brother to the good mare Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's by My Boy Charlie out of Mind Game. He was bought last year, bred by Gil Guy, Rick Jamison up there, and hopefully Colin and a lot of good owners are in him. I think Rick might have stayed in, I think.
Does he show you he's got the ability or the potential?
Well, we might roll him out at Ballarat on Sunday. His last trial at Cranbourne, he does have that bit of that swagger that Jamaica has, that same sort of extravagant action. So hopefully he's got the same engine.
So Sunday, should we be having a little something on first?
Well, it wouldn't be the worst. Wouldn't be the worst.
All right. We're going to walk down here because I was intrigued when I saw Southern France, his box down here in big bold letters that says senior staff only. And I went to have a pat before, and he nearly took my hand off.
He is a bit territorial around his box. But no, he's Southern France. Well, he was. I was very disappointed on Melbourne Cup Day, but the race probably, well, as we all know, it wasn't a genuinely run 2 mile. It was sort of a walk, trot, and canter for the first half of it. But he sort of showed his true form when he went to the Sandown Classic, and his last sectionals, I think he ran home in 33, his last three. So he is a bit of a casual bugger. But Mark Zara's got a pretty good handle on him, and he sort of woke him up early in that race and got him going, and you can see what he can really do. So he's come together nicely. He had a trial at Geelong, and then he had one at Werribee on Monday, and he's going to go first up into the Australian Cup. So I think it'd be just a waste of time running him anywhere below 10 furlongs. So we'll see him there, and then we'll aim to have him pretty tickety-boo for the Tankred up in Sydney.
It's going to be a nice Australian Cup now and declare first up into the race as well. How good is this boy?
Yeah, he's very good, I think. You know, when any horse can roll off those sectionals, but he is fairly casual in the first half, but genuine stayer and beautiful horse. Like, he's a really nice cut of a horse.
You've won the Caulfield Cup with Jamaica, and she started one of the favourites in that Melbourne Cup that year. How big a aim or goal is that for you to win a Melbourne Cup?
A Melbourne Cup, yeah, that's a very big, you know, it's one of the big ones here. If you can, you know, races like the Cox Plate, the Golden Slipper, Blue Diamond, Melbourne Cup, you know, they're the big ones, and we're fortunate enough we've been able to snavel a couple, so there's still a few more to go.
We're going to talk about the two-year-olds, and really this year has been unprecedented for yourself and Dave Eustace, but do you think you're more innately a distance trainer and you've got a better, not so much better ability, but you know what to look for in the field for the horses over the distance with your background?
Well, yeah, like, I suppose I had a lot of experience I suppose I rode over jumps worked for a lot of trainers in England and Ireland, albeit jumps yards or a lot of classic type horses. And then I suppose when you start off training, no one gives you a $500,000 colt to train. I started off with sort of lowly rated stayers and turned them into jumpers and sort of cut my teeth on them. So, and then I suppose you get fillies. It's sort of a big, it's a way about getting to where we are now, but you know, I was known as sort of a jumps trainer and then a trainer of fillies and, you know, and then probably can't get a sharp one. And then we had horses like Tricandy, and then you get the rap that you probably can't train a colt. And then, you know, this year,
Merchant Navy.
You know, we've had Merchant Navy you know, and a host of them this year. So, yeah, I think it probably, you know, I'm very confident in training the stays anyway, put it that way. And, hopefully this boy's the one to do it.
We're with Kieran Maher in his stables at Caulfield, having a wander around talking about all the good horses. We're going to take a break on Racing Pulse on the Road live from Caulfield after this. I almost got bitten then by Southern Fronts. So I won't turn my back again. We'll go and have a look at another one of your really good chances in the Diamond and one of the most intriguing runners away game.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Yep. Welcome back to Racing Pulse on the Road here with Kieran Maher. And Kieran, we've just wandered out the back of the stables where your day yards are. And you were just telling me then in the break that this was the old Angus Armanasco stables. And we're standing right next to the house which used to be Angus's, and now it's your home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I rented off the club. It's nice and close, so it's good for the early starts, actually.
Anything in particular in there from the old Angus days?
There's a little bit. It's quite a weird house, but very 70s. But
that'd suit you,
I reckon. Yeah, I don't mind it, actually. It's pretty good.
And these little day boxes out here, do you alternate the horses or you put who you think is better suited out here?
Yeah, the fillies tend to really thrive out here. It just gives them that extra bit of room. It's sort of more open, more airy. It's sort of akin to sort of our Ballarat stable, but it's in a city environment. So we've got horses like Away Game and a Beautiful Night out here, and they just seem to do that a little bit better with a little bit more open air.
Well, speaking of Away Game, she's probably one of the most underrated two-year-olds in the country with what she's been able to do.
Yeah, she's amazing, really. She started here. She ran at Sandown, actually, against Hanseatic, and hit the rail on the turn and became very unbalanced. Actually thought maybe she might nearly fall, but we had a race at Moonee Valley penciled in for a second up, and I said to her owner, who used to work for us, Hannah Matheson, I said, oh, there's a nice stakes race in Doomben, which is obviously the other end of the country, and she goes, well, if you think, I'm happy to back you. I said, righto. I said, that'll put us on the right leg if we're a Magic Millions horse and she happens to win. Anyway, funny how things work out. You know, after her first start, we trekked her up there. She got the money, then won the Magic Millions, and then happened to pick one up on the way back down in Sydney.
And impressively, all those wins have been super dominant. Is she one of these two-year-olds that has just continued to improve and surprise you?
Yeah, she's very push-button, very straightforward, and I think that's held her in good stead, and she's got a great constitution, obviously, to do what she's done. But you can see her; she's still holds nice condition. She's got dapples all over her, just really in good form. Obviously, she's been in work for a long time. We don't have to do a lot with her; we just keep her happy, and she'll line up and she'll make her presence felt on Saturday.
Well, she was explosive in the millions. She led last start. You've drawn gate 10.
Yep.
What do you do on Saturday?
She bounces pretty quick, as she did in the millions. She sat three wide. I think she nearly was without cover. She might have a little bit, but she nearly was without cover and just did her own thing. She quickened up and pinged. But I liked the way last start, how she had another string to her bow, went forward, made her own luck, sort of looked a little bit under siege, and then on the line she was going away from him. So she's pretty exciting, and the 1200 will suit her even better.
Where do you rate her amongst your six runners?
She's right up there, I think. Her, Montessira, are probably the best of the fillies. And Ideas Man and Rathlin are probably the pick of the colts. But Tanker, he didn't have any luck last start either. He he covered a lot of ground and was quite good and will come on, but that's probably the pick of him.
And this is a beautiful night over here. And she's drawn a perfect gate to be up on speed. Is she an honest two-year-old who's probably, do you think class-wise, maybe just a touch below them?
Well, maybe. Last start, she didn't probably quite run to form.
Yeah.
I think she likes to be up there and really sort of dictate, which she did the start before when she won the preview. So, yeah, from that good draw, I think we'll make use of the gate. We've kept her nice and fresh. We'll roll forward and, you know, she'll make her own luck. She'll be up in the firing line. And, if she does lack a bit, hopefully some of the ones of more ability might get held up in the traffic.
Montessori's in the other barn here at Caulfield. I think Dave Eustace labelled her his number one pick of your six. Drawn barrier 13. Is she the horse of the six in the field in the diamond that you think's got the most ability?
Between her and Away Game, there wouldn't be a lot between them. And probably a sense of timing with her. She's had that one run. She probably raced a little bit fresh and then got a late split and didn't get that momentum into the race. So, yeah, I think she'll really come on, and she's got a bit of sense of timing about her, Montessori.
When we're talking of two-year-olds, are we talking a different class between your Diamond Runners and Selzabil, who we'll get to see again in Sydney on Saturday?
Well, yeah, she's an exciting filly, Selzabil. God, I had a look at her yesterday up there, and she just looks phenomenal. She's got dapples on her like mushrooms, and it's very exciting. Obviously, tough race. I see there's an... You know, Hawks, he's kicking off a first starter. He knows what it takes to win that sort of race. So, you know, I couldn't be happier with her. She's in really good order. She's obviously had the run. She was quite dominant. You know, she rated quite high, according to the ratings guys in that race. So everything's looking really spot on for her. We made the decision not to run her in the Millennium. I was going to run her if they run the race on the Saturday. But when they moved it to the Wednesday, it just the track was still quite wet. It just was too close to this Silver Slipper that I wanted to run her in, because obviously she's not in the Golden Slipper yet, and that's her target. So if she can hopefully win that, get a bit of black type, and hopefully get a Guernsey into the Slipper.
Now, I see she's got glue on shoes on Saturday. Is there any reason for that?
No, we just felt she, when the farrier... thought she'd be better suited in the glue on, so you know, some people don't like them and have their reasons. But she was probably a bit short so in the market, so hopefully with the glue on she might blow out a little bit.
You must be proud of what you and Dave have been able to do with a two-year-old. So have six runners in a Blue Diamond. I think only David Hayes has done that in the 50-year history of the race, and to have the favourite in the Golden Slipper. Was this a pre determined plan to go big on the two-year-olds?
Well, you know, that's the two-year-olds, you know, those higher priced ones and the better bred ones, you know, people want to see results with them, you know, to get them into the breeding barn. You know, they've just got to perform well as two-year-olds, and that's the way breeding's going, and then train on to their three-year-old year. So yeah, it's always been a that was the decision why I come to Melbourne in the first place, was to get the better bred horses through the stable, because I felt at Warrnambool I wasn't getting that. And then same in Sydney, you know, like there was a lot of horses at the sales that some breeders and clients that bought the horses would say, no, I want them trained in Sydney. So I was like, I want access to those horses. So that was the reason for that. So I suppose you could say it has been a long-range plan to get these two-year-olds into the stable and get the opportunity to be able to train them. But this season's just been phenomenal. So you do kick yourself a little bit.
And we've got the next generation in front of us here, the little babies. There's a capitalist Belle Couture, a close relation to Black Caviar. And just over there is our old box number one.
Yeah, box one. That's where Mood's kept her in. He'll be back soon, lining up with a few two-year-olds, I would imagine, Mood.
How much do you set yourself a budget for the yearling sales, or is it just what you like?
I suppose when I first started, when I was buying horses like Jamaica, I didn't have any money, so it was all on credit, so it didn't really matter what they cost. But now I suppose the budget is how much you're exposed, I suppose. You know, you buy horses that you like. I've always maintained that rather than, you know, being influenced by, you might train for a breeder or something like that. I've always bought the horse that I like, and I think that's held us in pretty good stead. And, you know, you just try not to be too exposed, I suppose. There's been a lot of, I suppose, well-documented trainers that have got carried away at the yearling sales and brought themselves undone. So there was a stage where my accountant said he was going to bring a straitjacket to the sales and whack me in it so I couldn't do any more bidding. But it would have been okay this year. So, you just got to sort of keep a lid on it.
Dave Eustace says he's a reformed punter. Do you ever bet every now and then?
he's tipping. It's improved over the last month, actually, Dave. If he put the kiss of death on one, I was sort of would generally worry for the horse's performance. But he's really improved. But I'll have a bet. I'm not an everyday punter, but if there's a nice horse going to the races for the first time that I like, you know. It's a bit of inside mail, it's good. You can, I'll have a flutter every now and again.
Well, we'll try and get something for the listeners before the end. Your other group one, Oakley Plate, all too royal, Bonds away. Gee, it'd be nice for Bonds to win an Oakley Plate. He's been so close the last couple of years.
Yeah, it would be. I thought the key for him, he needed to draw a gate, and he's been posted again, the Bonds, but he's tough. He's a bloody tough horse. He's got that electric turn of foot. He's got one of these races in his grasp. Just he'll need luck from being drawn out there. Whereas the other horse, All Too Royal, he loves being drawn out wide. You know, all his best runs, I think he broke the record in Sydney at Rose Hill. He's run here the other day. He was drawn wide. That's probably ideal for him. And the weight drop for him significant. You know, he drops to 52. And years ago, I ran Tears I Cry. Actually, he ran on Melbourne Cup Day, carried top weight, got his pants pulled down, finished about fifth in a ratings race. And then 4 days later, dropped to 51 in the Emirates. So, you know...
100-1. Did you have a bet that day?
100-1. I got my old man to feed a few pineapples into the TAB machine in the trainer's room, which was pretty nice. He said it was like being at a morgue. There wasn't too much shouting apart from him and another mate of mine. When they do drop to that weight, they can certainly go to another level. So he's a horse that looks super and work's been very good. He worked with Bonds away at the Valley on Monday.
Gee, all right. Snap Dancer's an interesting runner in the Angus Hum and Asco. First up?
Yeah, first up. Might just need the run. It should be hitting the line though, but I reckon it might just need the run.
All right. And in Sydney, outside of Sells a Bill, is there anything for the punters?
Ken's Dream, sort of. He's been running in stakes races. He's drawn one. He's got no weight. And be interesting to see how the track comes up there, but he doesn't mind it. But he's been out of form for a while, but he might be one at odds on a low weight as well.
All right. And I can't let you go without a tip on your old home deck today down at the Bull.
Race one and two, I think. Billy DeLoon might be something. And I think Dave... Actually,
he did on Moody on the mic.
Moody on the mic put the kiss of death on Sicilian.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't know what price it's come up, but he absolutely declared it, Dave.
Yes, he did.
Hey, this has been so much fun walking around, Kieran. I really appreciate you giving us an insight and your time on such a busy day. Who's the best horse? I'll leave the hardest question for last that you've got in your care.
The best horse? Loving Gabby's hard to go past.
I haven't even mentioned the stuff.
Yeah, Loving Gabby, she's phenomenal. You know, like, you don't even think of her as a three-year-old filly. You know, her last, three runs have all been at racing the older horses. But even in the stable, like, she's twice the size of everything else. What she's doing's, you know, phenomenal. She might have been at the wrong part of the track, you know. If the the superstar could have took us a bit deeper into the race the other day. You never know, but I think she's come back phenomenal. And she'll drop to a really, really nice weight. I think it could be even 51 in the new market. Extra 200 metres down the straight will be our third go. I think, yeah, she's hard to go past, actually.
Sounds like a Kieran Maher bet to me coming up in the new market. Hey, mate, good luck on Saturday, especially with Selzerbeel in Sydney, and could be your first blue diamond.
No worries. Well, thanks very much, and thanks for coming out.
Kieran Maher, champion trainer, live from his stables here at Caulfield. Thanks a lot for that, Kieran. Look who's loitering over here, Joshy Rotter from the Melbourne Racing Club. I'm going to have a chat to Josh, because if any punters are thinking coming to the Heath on Saturday for the Ned's Blue Diamond, Group 1 racing at its best. Josh?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nugget, and good morning to all the listeners. It's great to be back here. This is where it all first started for me. My old school teacher, Johnny Locko, a big racing man, was involved with the Browns, Don and Cliff Brown, back in the early days. I was playing a bit of trouble, causing a bit of trouble at school, and he thought racing was the thing for me to get me working, and started with Rob McGuinness here. Back in the early 90s, yeah. Had an old favourite there called Fancy Bird. Don't know if you remember him.
I do.
By Navajo Bird, and got all my mates to wag school. We came out and backed him on Thousand Guineas Day, and he got the cash for Peter Merton. So some good memories here, and of course, watching the masterful Angus Armanasco back in the day, how he was with his two-year-olds, was a privilege to watch.
Have you got a favourite blue diamond? This is the 50th running on Saturday.
Know. It's been really exciting. We've been working closely with developing probably the best field from the 49 to 50 years, and it's going to be exciting. Bruce McAvaney, he's sat down and gone through it. We provided him all the information, and that's going to be in the Herald Sun tomorrow, so looking forward to that. I'm sure everyone's got their own opinions, but Angus Armanasco stands out to me. He won the first Blue Diamond with Tolerance, short price favourite, was a really good two-year-old. Farina won the race for him, and of course Zenitiv, he's my favourite. I think he had 10 starts as a two-year-old and won 9 races, like Blue Diamonds and things like that. I think his only defeat was in the Golden Slipper. And he was able to come back and win Futurities and Group 1s against the older horses as a three-year-old. To me, he was an unbelievable racehorse. And to me, he stands out, obviously, as the two-year-old. But, of course, Manicato, what he was able to do post-Blue Diamond, I think he won 10 Group 1s. Of course, he stands out as probably the biggest Blue Diamond hero to go on afterwards. So Zedev and Manicato, bounding away, special filly, was able to win the Blue Diamond, then go come back and win the Coolmore now as a three-year-old filly and the Oaks. So she was pretty good, and Redoute's Choice. They're probably my four. Yeah. Zedative, Manicato, Bounding Away, and Redoute's Choice.
It's been such a good race, hasn't it? And you got Rancher back in the day as well. So, and what it's done for the breeding as well. So it's been a phenomenal race. Who wins on Saturday?
I think Hanseatic. I think it's pretty scary what he's been able to do in races that probably haven't been run at the according tempo to suit his racing pattern. The way he can just blend in so easily. He reminds me a lot of Sepoy. He looks like he's going half pace when he chimes in, and his win the other day was nothing short of spectacular, and now he's drawn barrier one. You're just going to get a better price. Luke won the race last year. He's in fantastic form. He's right in the zone now at the moment, Luke Curry, and I think he knows he's on the best horse. You know, he's sat on the back of some pretty good two-year-olds the last couple of years. You know, so I think he's the one, Hanseatic. I think Mutasira is one that'll really springboard off her run the other day. Her work here on the course proper Tuesday is excellent. Damien Oliver takes the ride. Nothing went right for her. She was a bit tardy to begin. Luke gave her a dig. She got over racing. When Let's Be Glam sprinted in clear air, she was sort of held up behind them. So she hasn't had a gut buster. And I think she'll really springboard off that Mutasira. And I think she's probably one that you could back the place at good value in the race.
And for the punters who want to get out here trackside on Saturday, you've got the Beach Club, you've got everything else and the best horses on the track.
Yeah, it's a great race. I think it's an underrated race down the Australian racing calendar. Three Group 1s. We've talked about the Blue Diamond, but the Oakley Plate, you know, it's part of Australian racing folklore. You know, we used to go like Oakley Platers, didn't we, back in the day, Nugget? So that saying's quite famous. But expecting, it's probably not a vintage Oakley Plate in terms of the stars in it. You know, Bivouac's got 55.5. He's obviously the class horse in the race and on the up. We don't know where his ceiling's at. But, you know, when you look back through runnings of it, I think Weekend Hustler had 54 or 54.5. So it's not going to be easy for him. Anaheed, I thought, was really impressive the other day, the way she blew away the older horses. So I think they're the two in the Oakley Plate. But it's going to be a great spectacle watching him charge to the home turn in that. And, of course, the Futurity Stakes, a great mix with Super Seth, the three-year-old. It's a vintage crop of three-year-olds this year. And he's going to be pretty hard to beat for the likes of Colding and Melody Bell, but it should be a great race day on the track. Off the track, the Beach Pavilion. I know it looks grey as you probably look outside today, out of your car window or your office window, but the sun's going to be shining Saturday, 20, 21 degrees, very comfortable for everyone. And Caulfield's a great place to watch the races. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the Beach Pavilion, on the public lawns, you know, in the members, you're close to the action, you can really feel it. So get out to Caulfield on Saturday for a really underrated race day. You'll get your money's worth, that's for sure.
Good on you, Joshy. Joshy Rodder from the MRC. And this is the place to be on Saturday. And, of course, we'll get the All-Star Mile Top 10 announcement a little later this afternoon as well. Time for a break on the other side of this. It's the Trial Files with the Bald Eagle.
Don't forget, you can tune in every morning from 8:30.